Moreton Bay's home of information, 101.5 FM. On the line we have Mr. Andrew Powell, the member for Glasshouse. How are you today?
G'day, Shane. Doing very well, thank you.
I believe that you've already been off to the Echo once and you're about to do one more jaunt down there. How's it been down there at the Echo? Showing lots of good stuff?
Yeah, look, isn't it great? The Shadow Cabinet meet there each and every year, so we actually held a cabinet meeting on Friday at the Echo, and it was in fine form. The cows and the cattle were being judged, dairy and beef. There were kids already down in Sideshow Alley and checking out the show bags, and then, of course, all the fine food, including the Dagwood dogs.
I saw the picture.
Were there for everyone to sample.
As a Shadow Cabinet, what did you guys sort of discuss? Were there much things on the agenda?
Oh, well, we always discuss the upcoming legislation that's likely to come to Parliament or that is sitting in a Parliament at the moment as the Shadow Cabinet and the alternative government. We also talk about the policies that we'd like to take to the next election. So that was the focus of Friday's meeting. But as you said, I'll be back down the Echo. I'm going to help out on the LNP stand on Monday, and then I'll be back down again for a couple of receptions on Tuesday and Thursday. So it's one of those great times where the city meets the country, and we get as an opportunity, particularly the electorate of Glasshouse, where it really is city meets country, an opportunity to showcase many of the fantastic things from around our part of the world.
And, of course, the election was about a little over 13, 14 months away, so I guess you guys have to be starting to get ready as the alternative government.
Well and truly.
Now, talking about alternative parliament, on top of that, Mr. John Paul Langbrook was kind of knocked back from going across to Switzerland for part of the Olympic decision-making process, who might get the Olympics. I guess it's on the surface, and a lot of people have been commentating that on the surface it would have been nice to see a bit of bipartisanship, but unfortunately that wasn't the case.
No, it wasn't, Shane. Look, we are excited about the Olympics. We think Southeast Queensland, Queensland as a whole will really shine, put on a great show when it comes to the Olympic Games and get a whole heap of benefits, particularly around busting congestion in the Southeast corner. And as such, as has been the case in many years past, because you don't know which flavour of politics is going to necessarily be in government come 2032, we have also appointed a Shadow Minister for Olympic Games. That's John Paul Langbrook. He was our Shadow Minister for the Commonwealth Games. And you want a level of bipartisanship. You want to know that both parties are going to work together to make sure that Southeast Queensland's front and centre when it comes to the Olympic Games, and that regardless of who ends up being in, that there is continuous work towards that bid. And then if we're successful in terms of making sure those Olympic Games are the best ever. So it was a bit disappointing. Actually, it was very disappointing that Anastasia Palaszczuk has jetted off to Switzerland but has knocked back John Paul travelling with the delegation.
Which means that bipartisanship is not shining through on this occasion.
We'll keep trying, but, you know, it takes two to tango, and in this case the government of the day is not willing to take that bipartisan approach, which is very, very disappointing.
The whispers that be have almost said that the Olympic Committee wants Queensland to host it.
Yeah, so there's been a bit of a change, I think, since the Rio Games in particular, where they realised that unless there is a lot of existing sporting infrastructure, the costs and the outcomes for the community aren't necessarily there. Now, Southeast Queensland, we hosted the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast recently. We've got a lot of sporting infrastructure already. It wouldn't take a lot more for us to be able to host the sporting side of it. But excitingly, what the Olympics bid potentially means for us is some real fast-tracked investment into infrastructure in terms of public transport and roads around Southeast Queensland. You know, the SEQ Council of Mayors that originally put this together were talking about things like fast rail to the Sunshine and Gold Coast. They're talking about intersection upgrades, improvements on our highways. They're the kind of things that the Southeast will benefit from. And as a result, the IOC and the International Olympic Committee is looking at us very favourably at the moment because we are in a good position.
So wait and see to see how it all pads out. But we've all got our fingers crossed, politicians and us punters who are in the observation deck, as it were, looking at what you guys are up to, all hoping that it all turns out.
Oh, mate, put aside the politician. You know I'm a sports nut, so I just love to have opportunity to watch all that sport here in our back corner.
We've also got a good opportunity to see what's going on in state politics. Hasn't Jackie Trad had a hammering lately?
She certainly has, and for very good reasons. And some may recall various iterations of our term in government that there were a number of ministers whose integrity was under question. They were dealt with very severely. They lost their jobs and punished very, very quickly. But here we have an ongoing saga of purchasing a property that would benefit from a project that she's intimately involved in. She didn't declare it properly, was referred to the CCC, and then picked up the phone and rang the head of the CCC herself, making it impossible for him to do the investigation. He had to excuse himself. We believe that it not only is something the CCC should be investigating, but it breaches the ministerial code of conduct, and ministers have been kicked out for a lot less. So when Parliament resumes Monday week, we'll certainly be asking a lot of questions of Jackie Trowden and of what she knew regarding that, the value that would be reaped from that property, particularly given only one of the two Cross River Rail proponents was going to put a new railway station next to that property, and surprise, surprise, that's the one that won.
The media have been absolutely relentless in its attack and questioning, and rightly so. Politicians are seen to be, you know, open and very transparent, or at least they should be. Mm-hmm. When it isn't, by jingo, the media really clamors on top. And, of course, it won't be just you guys in Parliament that will be asking questions. The media will be doing the same.
Well, most certainly. And I think the media is on this issue so much because they know that Anastasia Palaszczuk, when she was elected in 2015, basically did so, saying that she would be an open and transparent, honest government. And here we have the Deputy Premier, the second in charge, and some would say, many would say, the one in charge, really questioning, bringing into question that integrity and honesty and openness. So the media is quite stunned and shocked that there hasn't been more action taken against Jackie Trowden for the behaviour and for the actions that she's done.
So now we're looking to the CCC to investigate and obviously make a deliberation, but certainly the government would be well placed to perhaps make a decision before all that and just, make a decision on what they're going to do about it.
Well, that's right. And as I said, a lot of ministers have lost their jobs for a lot less than this. So it didn't take a CCC inquiry to for them to lose their job. So it is very disappointing, but it goes to show that Anastasia Palaszczuk just can't make a decision, particularly when it comes to her deputy leader.
Let's go to some positive news, because you are going to be going around and about in the Glasshouse electorate with Mr. Terry Young, who is the member for Longman. A bit of a joint effort here.
That's right. So, as people know, the electorate that stretches from Kenilworth in the north, Dover in the south, 22, 23 different communities around that electorate, I try to get out and about as much as I can, take my office to them, so to speak, so literally pull up on the side of the road and pull out the awning on the side of the four-wheel drive and set up a table and a couple of chairs and have a chat to the locals. We've just come off a week of doing that in the north of the electorate, in the Sunshine Coast Regional Council, half of the electorate, and we're about to kick that off Tuesday with Terry Young, the new federal member for Longman, a good friend of mine. And so over the course of 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to be getting to 9 destinations, Diagula, Delaney's Creek, Alimba, Wamuran, Mount Mee, Woodford, Ocean View, Upper Caboolture and Roxburgh Marina. So that's the part of Longman that also sits in Glasshouse, and we're trying to get out and about to hear firsthand from all the locals.
And making the possibility for people to complain or praise.
Oh, look, we get a bit of both. Last week I had quite a few people just dropped to say hi and thanks for doing the job you do. Yeah. Others did come with issues in hand, and yeah, it does give them the opportunity of doing either. I also love it when people come with an issue, but they also come with a solution, Jane. Mm. So, if you're in that Moreton Bay Regional Council part of Glasshouse, I look forward to seeing you this week and listening to your issues and ideas.
And that's, of course, available on your Facebook. People can follow your journey. Just search for Andrew Powell, MP. Actually, that's you it. Don't need the MP on yours. Just Andrew Powell will actually do it.
It will, but the MP certainly helps.
It does indeed, because that is what you are. Andrew Powell, we'd like to say thank you for being part of the program here today. As always, you take care and enjoy your day.
Always a pleasure, and have a great day, listeners.
This is Moreton Bay's Home of Information, 101.5 FM.